Oh, come on, let's love the Lord tonight. We praise your name. Would you lift your voice and just begin to give him glory tonight? Jesus, we love you tonight. We praise your name.
Lord, we want you.
No one else.
No one. Come on, can we lift up the name of Jesus tonight? Come on, if you need a miracle in your body, if you need a miracle in your life right now, come on, with Jesus, it can happen. Oh, we worship you, Savior. Come on, let the Holy Ghost move in this house tonight. Oh, let the Spirit of the Almighty move in this house tonight. Whatever you need can happen tonight. Come on, whatever you need can happen tonight. In the name of Jesus, come on, let your requests be made known unto God. Cast your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. We praise you. We magnify you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, my God. We thank you, Lord, my God. We need to pray tonight. Received an email this afternoon from our engineer in the city of Caldwell, who has jurisdiction over that piece of property, even though it's in Nampa, is trying to force us, the fire department is trying to force us, and they're really hung up on this, to have 420 occupancy in that building. That not only requires more parking, it requires a sprinkler system, and they're counting the sanctuary, the lobby, all the classrooms, all the offices as being occupied at one time. I don't know how else to explain to them what we do and how we have church, but all I know is that would put us over any kind of budget we may think we have. We need a miracle, church. It's been over 8 months since we started this project, and we haven't even started the project. It's costing us money every month to rent this building and to have many storages. So we're going to pray tonight specifically for that need. We're going to pray that there are healings that need to take place in this house. There are job situations that need to be answered in this house. There are legal issues that need to be answered in this house tonight. Come on, everybody's got a need tonight. Let's just come on. If we had pre-service prayer, our heart's prepared for this. Hear our cry, God. In this place tonight, right now. Come on, in this house. Circumstances beyond our control. Things we cannot do on our own, God, but you are able. Nothing is impossible for you, Jesus. All you have to do is speak a word. All you have to do is touch the situation and everything. Come on, all we need tonight is one touch from the Master's hand. He can turn everything around right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let the Holy Ghost move in this place from the back to the front, from the left to the right. We worship you, Savior. We glorify you, Jesus. We pray all these prayers tonight in the only name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, church, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in advance of what He's going to do in your situation, in your need. By your Spirit tonight, Savior. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated, asking our ushers if they'd prepare to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Amen. Thank God for your faithfulness. Thank God for your attendance to the things of God. Don't forget your personal daily devotion. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Fast as often as you can, at least once a week, if at all possible. Amen. Let's pray in pre-service prayer. We want to create an atmosphere where God can move and God can work. And that only comes from us digging that out, breaking up the fallow ground. Amen. Unless something's absolutely, positively necessary, let's focus on prayer. Amen. Invite someone to the house of God. Thank God for our Easter service, our Easter attendance. Thank God for the visitors that we had. But I believe God wants us to have visitors in every service. Amen. Thank God for our new family members. We're thankful for what God is doing, even in this circumstance that's beyond our control. But God can do more, and God will do more if we will do our part. Amen. Amen. So let's remember to invite souls to the house of God. Be faithful to every service. Maybe church again Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Let's be faithful to that service. Amen. Let's stand together, pray for the offering. Savior, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We ask you to bless the gift and the giver tonight. Bless this offering. God, I pray that you'd give the remainder of it, God, and multiply it and help us in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come. Come on, if you believe he's great in the house tonight, why don't you lift your voice? Come on, lift your heart, lift your hands. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. The Bible said, two agreed touching anything, believe it in his name, it shall be granted unto them. Amen. We cannot do that tonight if we are not in fellowship one with another. If we're not comfortable one with another, if we don't pray around one another, amen. So we have started a new little thing around here. We spend some time stepping across the aisle to someone maybe you haven't introduced yourself yet to. Amen. Take some time right now tonight to step across that aisle in this vast cathedral tonight and shake someone's hand. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's lift our hands one more time as we make our ways back to our seats. Let's magnify the Lord together. Come on, he's so good. He's so great. He's worthy of the glory tonight. Come on, he's worthy of the honor tonight. Oh, let's glorify him. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're thankful for everyone who is here tonight. Amen. God bless you. Pray for those who could not be here. Amen. That God would make a way for them to be in every service. That's the goal. I want that to be the goal for every member of this church, that I want to be in every service I can be in. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church, and I want to go to church. Amen. We're so thankful tonight to have the Boggs with us. You've seen them in our services, and you probably wonder why they haven't been preaching. Well, they've been preaching for another church in the area, staying at our house, and so I think they felt obligated, since they're staying at on our property, to come to church with. No, I'm just playing. But they're no stranger to our church. We're thankful they're here tonight. I felt to have him preach tonight, so I want us to lift our hands one more time as the man of God comes to deliver the word of the Lord tonight. Let's praise the Lord together.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you lift him up today? Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory and honor today. Hallelujah, God. We want to give you a praise that's due your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Well, I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord with this local assembly. Amen. There's not many other places I'd rather be than with the Berets in this wonderful church. Amen. I'm thankful for the presence of God that is here. Amen. It's no accident that the presence of God is here. Amen. Amen. It's not an accident that the church down the road that you attend every once in a while, you don't feel it like you feel it here. But it's on purpose. Amen. God is honoring the direction and honoring the truth that is preached in this place. And I'm thankful. I want to be at a church where God shows up. I want to go where Jesus goes to church. Amen. 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 I felt a message on my heart for several months and did not feel who it was for and didn't feel a release to preach it anywhere. And about a week ago, your pastor and I were talking and conversating, and I told my wife, I said, I know who this message is for now. I said, I feel like it's for the Brace Church. And we weren't even set to preach at that point. I just felt like God is releasing us to preach this. And your pastor and I were talking Saturday, and he quoted a word of my title in conversation. I went, there it is. Amen. And so Sunday night, he let me know I was preaching, and I felt like God wants to deliver this word of God to this church today. Have you come to hear the word of God? Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Judges chapter 16 and verse 21. Man, I've not preached behind a desk quite this techie looking. Amen. This is awesome. Makes me feel a little less smart than what I already do. Amen. Amen. Story of Samson, chapter 16, verse 21. It says, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. They said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. It came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. He made them sport, and they sat him between the pillars. Samson said to the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took a hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of one in his right hand and of the other with his left. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines," and bowed himself with all his might. The house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the death which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. I want to preach by the help of the Lord on this thought today. Take me to the pillars. Take me to the pillars. Can you lift your hands towards heaven today? Can we ask God to help us in this house? God, we need you. Savior, we're nothing without you, God. Lord God, we come to this place in need of your presence, in need of a touch of the Almighty today. God, we want you to lead us and guide us in all truth today, God. Lord, we want your presence and your spirit to speak to us, God, and Lord, direct us and guide us today, Lord. Let us be led of the Holy Ghost tonight in this house, we pray. Lord, let the word shake, let the word change, let the word deliver today, we pray. Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Can you clap your hands to the Lord? Thank you for standing today. You may be seated. As we begin to think about Samson, our mind automatically goes to a man that is powerful, a man that is full of might, a man that has performed many exploits in his life and has done many great things. And our mind goes to the city where he carried the gates upon his back, and our mind goes to him slaying thousands with the jawbone of a donkey, and we go in our mind's eye automatically to the strength of Samson. We go to the might and the power and the things that he accomplished in his life, and we overlook and we don't want to maybe dig deep into where Samson ends up. We see as Samson is led astray by his lusts and his desires, Delilah helps to take him captive and helps to find out where his strength lieth. And the enemy will try his best to make you fall. The enemy will try his best to, amen, secure you away from the Lord. Amen. But the pain that was afflicted upon him as they took his eyes out of his head, the pain, no doubt, from the whips and the beatings as they struck him, and he didn't know where the striking was coming from. Amen. The pain where, when he had lost his strength, he was chained to a millstone to grind meal like an oxen or like a cow or like a mule. The pain of the blisters that would form upon his hands. The pain, of the imprisonment. The pain of the daily grind of grinding that meal. The shame, no doubt, that was upon him of who he used to be. Amen. This is where the enemy wants to take you when you fall. Amen. When he robs you of your strength and you fall into a mistake, this is where he wants to take you, into a place where you cannot see, a place that you are afflicted, a place where shame is upon you. And in his pain and in his heartache and in his shame, he needed something to lean on. His lack of strength that was upon him, he needed something to hold on to. In the Old Testament, we have depictions of a pillar. A pillar in the Old Testament is a sacred monument that is dedicated unto God to mark commitment or to memorialize and remind one of the experience that they had with God Almighty. We find this in Genesis 28 and 18 as Jacob awakes from his dream of angels ascending and descending the ladder from heaven to earth. And Jacob arose early in verse 18 in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and give me me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. He was erecting a pillar. Amen. He went from a place of rest to a place of revelation, understanding that this is not just a place where I lay down and sleep, but this is where God is meeting with me. A revelation for not only where he was, but when he woke up, he had an understanding of who he was. Amen. And who he should be. Amen. From taking our ease, we ought to go as a pillar from taking our ease in Zion. Amen. Amen. From common to consecrated. The rock, amen, had become sacred. Amen. It became a pillar. Amen. When I give my life to God and I give him consecration, amen, I start to become a pillar. Amen. There were pillars in Solomon's temple. 1 Kings 7 and 21 says, and he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple. And he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set the left pillar and he called the name thereof Boaz. Those words, the name of that right pillar, Jachin, means he will establish. The name Boaz that he gives to the left-handed pillar, it means, and interpreted, it means in strength. Amen. When you become a pillar, it's not going to be because of your own might. It's not going to be because of your own power. It's going to be because the Lord has established you and the Lord has strengthened you. Yes, we need memorials. Yes, we need pillars that we can look back to as it was in the Old Testament. But I want to be a living pillar, amen, in the house of God. I want to be a walking, breathing, living testimony and a structural piece of the house of the living God. As it goes from Old Covenant to New Covenant, from Old Testament to New Testament, we find in Revelation chapter 3, amen, in verse 12, it says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Talks about you and I becoming the pillar of the house of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto him which believe, which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Be ye lively stones that are set up to hold up the house of God, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen, amen. I want to be a pillar. I want to be holy to God. I want to be that royal priesthood. I want to be a peculiar people. When Samson's life was falling apart, he needed the pillars that could hold him up. He was blinded by his enemy, and when he was in pain and when he was broken, he told that little sermon boy, I can't see. I don't know where I can't find direction in my life. But I want you to take me to the pillars, and I want you to have my hands placed upon them. Hey, when I'm going through the storm of life, I don't need to run away from the church. But I need to come to the house of God and find a pillar. I need to find somebody that has a foundation that I can lean upon. Pillars are positioned with purpose. Just like in architecture, pillars in the church aren't randomly placed. But God has positioned each person intentionally with a purpose that fits into the overall structure of the body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 18 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body. Amen. Particularly, he set them as he pleased. Come on, you're in his church, not out of coincidence, not just because somebody invited you to church, but there is a divine design, amen, where you're supposed to fit in the house of God. Can I just say this? You're not just here for the current structure. But beams and posts and pillars are there with a future architectural strategy in mind. Amen. You're not just here for this current time, but you're going to be a pillar for a future expansion and future growth. Well, how do I become a pillar? What is a pillar? Pillars carry weight. Pillars do their work without applause. When you look at a structure, you're looking at the finished work. You're looking at the trim, and you're looking at the tile, and you're looking at all the finished work, but the pillars don't get any applause. They support. They stabilize. They sustain, often without being seen or without being celebrated. In the church, this is the ministry of mature people. People that are prayer warriors. People that are sacrificial givers. People that are consistent servers who don't need a platform to make an impact in their local church. Come on, Matthew chapter 6 verse 3 says, but when you do a charitable deed, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And your Father who sees it in secret, amen, will himself receive your reward, will reward you openly. Oh, we talk a lot about the gifts of the church and about talents, and we need all of those things. We need gifts. We need talents. We need titles. We need platforms. But God is not just looking for performers. But God's looking for pillars. Hey, pillars aren't flashy, but without them, the church won't stand. Pillars aren't out front and seen by everybody, but without the pillars, the church falls apart. But where God plants you as a pillar is where you're supposed to stay. Pillars are planted. They're not portable. Psalm 92 and 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Pillars aren't meant to hop from one building to another. Pillars aren't meant to jump from one church to the other. They're grounded in their local assembly. Because if the enemy can keep you wondering, he'll keep you weakened. If he can keep you looking outside, he'll keep you weakened. Pillars are steadfast. Pillars are immovable. Pillars are always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hey, they don't shake and they don't fall apart every time trouble comes their way. They don't get blown about by every wind of doctrine. They're too busy holding and doing the work of the kingdom of God. Pillars are designed to hold up other things. But pillars without a foundation can't hold anything. If you try to stand up a concrete pillar or a beam that's tall enough, you can only stack so much on top of it before it topples. Can I just help someone today? If I'm not a pillar with a foundation, then I can't hold somebody else up. If I don't have a foundation, let me lead somebody to a pillar who has a foundation. I need to stop building my life on the opinions of pillars that don't have a foundation. Pillars can stand up by themselves. Pillars don't need to be back patted by the preacher. Amen. Pillars can stand because they have a foundation. Amen. It sounds like there's been some foundations that have been being built on Wednesday nights around here during Bible study night. That's making you a pillar. That's helping you to have a foundation. But once you get a foundation, a pillar can carry an immense amount of weight. Pillars are not just symbolic, but they are structural. They hold the weight of the roof. The tension of the structure is also held by the pillar. And they absorb stress from the building and other moving parts to where the building does not collapse. Being a pillar of the church means you pray when no one else prays. Being a pillar of the church means I show up even when I'm not told. I show up even when I'm tired. Amen. Amen. Being a pillar means standing in the gap for others. Standing steady in the midst of storms. Well, Brother Boggs, I've been a pillar for a long time. I've been doing what you're talking about. I never get recognition. Can I just let you know God sees it? God sees it. The church is standing because you decided to be a pillar. Pillars are not built just for a moment, but pillars are built to last. 1 Kings 7:21 talks about the temple, talks about he establishes and he strengthens the pillars. They were massive. They're beautifully crafted. And they were symbolic of God's strength and permanence in the temple of God. Pillars don't quit. They're not moved by offense. They're not shifted by fads of the world. But they are forged in the fire and built for endurance. Amen. To make it until the end. We don't need more influencers. We don't need, amen, more flashes in the pan, but we need more intercessors. We don't need more celebrities in the house of God. We need more servants in the house of God. God's looking for people that'll say, you can build upon my life. I won't collapse under the pressure. I won't give up because I'm not feeling well. I'm going to be a pillar of the house of God. Pillars point to God and not to themselves. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine therefore before men that they may glorify your Father in heaven. Pillars lift the roof so everyone can see God and not them. They're not in it for attention. They don't give up when they're not given enough attention. They don't need a platform. They just want to see Jesus exalted. Hey, that's what I'm in this for. Amen. I'm not in it for a title, but I just want to see the Lord exalted. I want to see his house made great and mighty. Exodus 13:21 says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and to go by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Pillars move with God. They're not going to be shaken by the world. They're not going to fall apart by winds of doctrine, but they're going to move when God moves. When the temple moved, the pillars moved with it. Amen. When the house of God moved and when the people of God moved, God let that pillar of cloud lead them by day and a pillar of fire by night. Pillars lead the way toward the direction God wants others to go in. Hey, I want to be a pillar that helps lead somebody in the right direction. I want to help lead them in my obedience. I want to help lead them in my worship. I want to help lead them in the way that I pray in pre-service prayer. I want to help lead them in my response to the preached word. I want to help lead them in the way that I dress. I want to help lead them in the way that I have my conversation. Help me to lead in my attitude. Help me to lead in my spirit. Help me to be a pillar that people can follow to find God. Follow me as Paul says, as I follow Christ. I want to be following God Almighty. I want to be a pillar of strength, amen, that God can use to point people in the right direction. Pillars are strong. Pillars or columns are crucial in construction for several key reasons. One, they're load-bearing. They support things that are built upon them. Pillars transfer the weight of the structure above, like floors and roofs, down to the foundation, helping to evenly distribute the load and prevent structural failure. Two, they're structurally there for stability. They provide vertical support and help maintain the integrity and the stability of the building, especially during natural forces like winds or earthquakes. Hey, I want to be a pillar that provides vertical support, that connects somebody to heaven above. Three, they are there for spatial creation. What does that mean? By using pillars instead of walls, large open interior spaces can be created, important to buildings like malls or auditoriums or parking garages. They help to set an open atmosphere. Hey, I want to be a pillar that helps set an inviting atmosphere. Not something that's blocked in by walls and things and doubts. No, I want to help create the right atmosphere in the house of Lord. They're there to give aesthetic design. Beyond function, pillars can be used as architectural elements to enhance the visual appeal of a structure. There's no pillars in the house. Church is empty. It's a vacant building. Amen. I want to be in the house of God. Number five, they're durable and they're safe. Well-designed pillars contribute to the overall longevity and safety of the building, minimizing risk of collapse. When a pillar begins to show signs of failing, and in turn is no longer safe or is no longer able to hold anything up, these signs appear. The first is visible cracking, or spalling is what they call it. Cracks, especially diagonal and wide cracks, or growing, ones that start small and begin to grow, are red flags. It shows the pillar is compromised. Spalling, which is when chunks of concrete break off, often expose the interior rebar and internal structure. This could indicate structural weakness or an internal corrosion. And when things of life hit me, if I'm not a solid pillar like I should be, cracks begin to appear and people start to see what's beneath the surface. People start to see the hidden sin and the frustration, the anger comes out. Tilting, the way that a pillar is compromised is tilting or out of plumb columns. If a pillar is leaning or out of vertical alignment, it is not distributing the load properly. This can be caused by the foundation settling or lateral pressure from above. Can I just help someone today? You can't be a pillar if you're not willing to be balanced. If you start leaning the wrong way, amen, those that have confidence in you and those that are connected to you, they'll begin to tilt and they'll begin to lean. The third of which is one that can show an exposed or a compromised pillar is busted or exposed rebar. If steel reinforcement inside the pillar is exposed and rusting, it compromises the strength. Rust expands and weakens the surrounding concrete. What is on the inside will eventually show on the outside. I've got to deal with the internal issues before it affects my external ability to be a pillar in the house of God. The fourth is discoloration or staining. Water stains or rust marks often signal internal moisture issues or rebar corrosion. It could lead to a long-term weakening if untreated. I've got to make sure, as the Bible says, I'm unspotted and I'm unblemished from the sins and the stains of this world. Amen. I've got to make sure my internal, amen, my internal peace is right. I've got to make sure that my calling and my election is sure. Amen. In my life. The fifth is unusual sounds. This one caught my attention. Creaking, popping, or cracking noises can signal stress or movement in the structure, especially during loads being borne upon the pillar. I want to make sure that I'm sounding forth a clear and a certain sound. I want to make sure the sound of the trumpet that is preached across this desk is the same sound that's in my life. I don't want to pull out another instrument. I don't want another sound. I don't want an unusual noise. Amen. I don't want to get to the place where people are like, well, they don't usually complain this much. They don't normally do and say stuff against their brother or sister. They don't normally. This is uncharacteristic for them. They don't normally criticize leadership, but there's a cracking noise. There's an unusual sound. It could be that your pillar and starting to become compromised. Deformation or bulging of a pillar shows signs of bulging or swelling. It is a sign of internal failure, like overloaded concrete or water intrusion. You are a compromised pillar if you're puffed up with pride. When you're swollen and infected with offense and bitterness, you are a compromised pillar. I've got to get those things out of my life. I've got to quit letting deformation happen in my life. Seven is load cracking in adjacent elements, cracking in beams, ceilings, or walls. Near the pillar may mean the column isn't doing its job. Stress gets distributed and shows up somewhere else. Hey, when I start affecting the structure of the church, if I start causing division, if I start causing schisms in the church, if I start affecting other people's walk with God in a negative way, then I'm a compromised pillar. Amen. And I'm causing the overall structure to begin to fail. Number eight is settlement at the base. Gaps between the pillar and the foundation or signs of sinking or uneven ground mean the base or the foundation may be unstable. You better make sure your foundation is sure. When your foundation starts to sink or be compromised, you are a pillar that is in a state of failing. A house divided against itself cannot stand. We talked about all these negative things that can happen to pillars. But I just want to tell someone it's not over. It's not the church isn't going to fall over and topple today. We just got to get unified, and we have to get reinforced by the Spirit and the hand of God. Amen. Don't think you're not needed. Amen. Don't get in a spot where you're failing as a pillar and give up on being one. Pillars are necessary. Church needs the pillar. The house of God needs the structure of you being a pillar. Because things happen when pillars are removed. There's a story I found. It's called The Forgotten Pillar. In 1985, a restoration work was underway at the famous Milan Cathedral in Italy. As one of the largest Gothic cathedrals in the world, its construction had taken nearly six centuries, and the structure was supported by hundreds of carefully placed columns and pillars. During the restoration, a crew was assigned to remove what was believed to be a redundant support pillar in one of the upper sections. The pillar was old, it was cracked, and it was seemingly non-essential. After a minimal consultation, they decided to remove it and make room for the reinforcement beams. Within minutes of its removal, subtle shifts occurred in the nearby ceiling and arches. Cracks appeared in the ornate stonework. Alarms were raised, and the structural engineers rushed to inspect the situation. It turned out that the useless pillar was a load-bearing element strategically placed centuries earlier to evenly distribute the weight of the marble roof that was above. The engineers quickly reinforced the area, and the pillar, though damaged, it was returned to its place, now with the proper modern supports. Had they not noticed the structural shifts in time, the entire section of the cathedral could have collapsed and damaged priceless art and possibly injuring co-workers and tourists. Even if you're a pillar that's in disrepair, all you need is God to reinforce you. You need a, hey, I know you've been coming to church a long time. I know there's some things that have worn against you. You've got some scratches and some dents, and you've got some places where life has taken bites out of you. But you need to make sure you always come to the altar and get reinforcement. God, I may be old. I may have some things that have happened to me, but God, I need to be reinforced so that I can be a pillar that holds up the house of the Lord. A pillar is different from a brick ceiling or a brick wall. If a wall has an ugly hole, or if a brick is missing in a wall, the building structure still remains. But how about if the pillar is missing? There's a possibility that that building can collapse. Whenever you do anything for God, it must be done with fear, faith, and devotion, and not simply out of obligation. Because God loves a cheerful giver. However, there are many people who try to give tithes and offerings and worship and read the Bible and live the Word of God in their way, expecting to receive a mighty reward for the works. But at the end, they really don't maybe see the results that they were looking for. Why is this? If you believe in God, the Bible says there will be a flow of rivers, a river of living water that flows from you. Amen. I want to be a pillar that even though I don't get a lot of attention, God, I'm essential to the house of God. In order to be the temple and a pillar in the temple of God, you need to overcome your feelings. You need to overcome your bad thoughts. You need to overcome your inadequacies to be a pillar that is firm. Amen. That has reached the bedrock. Amen. To get to the rock and dig and make sure there is a foundation. To become a pillar, you've got to dig. Amen. To become a pillar, you have to dig down until you find Jesus. So what are you talking about today? You've got to dig through all the things that you desire. You've got to throw things out of your life. You've got to remove, amen, you've got to repent. You've got to sacrifice sweat. You've got to sacrifice tears because I've got to get to the foundation so that I can be built into a holy house. Once you overcome your flesh, you've got to dig until you have a foundation of Jesus in your life so that you can become a pillar that will never be moved. 1 Timothy 3:15 says the church is the pillar and ground of truth. I want to be rooted, as the Bible says, and grounded in truth. And when you fall, run to the church and get under the pillars. Hey, I don't know how many times I'm not just a compilation. I'm not just a byproduct of one pastor. I'm not just a byproduct of one man just preaching across the desk, and that's the only influence I had in my life. But there were pillars that were in my life. There were men and women of God that were in the church that I could run to. I could show up on a Tuesday night prayer meeting, and I could wrap my arms around Brother Story, Brother Jim Story. I could wrap my arms around him and know that when life was shaking and things were going wrong and I'd messed up and I'd failed, there was still a man that loved me. There was still a man that cared for me. There was still a man that would love me and hug me and cry and pray for me. Amen. I'm a byproduct of a Sunday school teacher. And when everybody else was done praying with a little 10-year-old boy, that she sat there with me. And there was a pillar by the name of Cindy Ashworth that prayed me through to the Holy Ghost. Come on, the church needs pillar. The church needs pillars. And when you fall, Don't run to walls. When you're hurt, don't run to a brick. The Bible says we are not bricks. We are lively stones. You need to run to a pillar. Amen. When I'm hurt, I don't run to a brick. I don't run to friends of the world. I don't run to family members. I don't run to social media. I don't run to Hollywood. I don't run to alcoholism. I don't run to lust. Amen. A lust-driven relationship. I run to the pillars of the church. I spend time around them. I go to breakfast with them. I show up to church with them. We are many members. But one body. Come to the music tonight. We are one church, but God help us to be many pillars. Why? Because the load capacity changes based on material. Based on the material, the load capacity changes. According to Google, it says the average load that a pillar can handle is anywhere from 10,000 in residential standards to commercial construction that can hold up to 400,000 pounds, depending on the material. That's just one pillar. But the more the pillars, the more the capacity that can be held. Brother Boggs, why haven't we seen our church blow up? Why haven't we seen revival like we want? Maybe God's waiting for you to become a pillar. He's waiting for that foundation to be built in your life so that you can stand up and you can catch a hand of someone that's coming in and you can help lift them up. And you can catch someone that's praying for the first time in an altar and you can help lift them up. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000. But what if the church was full of pillars that could hold the structure and the revival and the harvest that God has promised for us? Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're unseen. Maybe you're overwhelmed. But God's saying, I see your strength and I'm here to strengthen you. Because I'm not just building something structural. I'm not just building something physical. But I'm building a spiritual house. To the pillars in the church, thank you for being a pillar. To the ones becoming a pillar, stay faithful and keep on working to become a pillar. For those that are broken, God can rebuild you stronger than what you were before. Because in the end, it's Jesus isn't just building a crowd. He's building a church and he's looking for pillars. Amen. Are you willing to be planted instead of just passing through for a time? Are you willing to carry the weight and carry one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ? Are you willing to build now for what is going to happen in the future? Come on, let us stand across this place. Come on, let us stand strong. Let us be pillars of the house of God. I want to be somebody that others can lean upon. When they're in trouble, they can say, take me to the pillars of the church. And when they talk about those pillars, they're talking about me. Come on, pillars lift things up. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Come on, I can see the Lord because there are pillars, amen, that are lifting up Jesus. Amen, I want to be a pillar that lifts up his kingdom, that lifts up his plan and his purpose. Come on, why don't we just spend a few moments? Come on, why don't we pray right now? God, make me a structural piece of the body of Christ. Let me be steadfast, unmovable. Help me to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, God wants to make you a pillar that when life shakes and life blows against you, you can stand firm. You can stand firm with your feet planted. Oh, come on. Come on, the Holy Ghost is in this house. Come on, why don't you cry out to the Lord today? God, use me for your kingdom. God, help me to mature in my walk with God. Put a foundation within me so I can help Hey, God, with this harvest and this revival, make me a workman. Oh, hallelujah.
Somebody to link up with tonight. Come on, two are better than one tonight. Let's find somebody to pray with.
I need you.
Oh, we worship you, Savior.
We're all a part.
God, we glorify you, Jesus.
Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will.
Come on, we can't do it alone tonight.
Oh, you are important to me. I need you to survive. Oh, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree. Take me by the hand. Together we will work until it comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Sister.
lift our hands all over this house tonight. My God, by your Spirit, my God, by your Spirit. Worship you, Jesus. The last few weeks, we've had a couple folks that have come from our home church. And just remind you, when you step away from that and you think, man, this is just all there is, that there are churches that have been established for 70, 80, 90 years. There are people who have been in those churches since their birth, and they're in their 70s now. I could think of Sister Becky Cantu. I'm not exactly sure how old she is. I know she's in her late 60s, if not 70s. She's my parents' age. She was born in that church. Her family had been there for years. We were there for 27 years, and I was 34 years old when we left to go pastor. But the idea is that there are people in that church today that have been there 30 and 40 and 50 years as pillars. As pillars. I understand life and circumstances has affected somebody's ability to be in a church for that amount of time, and there are people in this church tonight that have been in churches and living for God as long as that. And I'm not here to take that away. But if we're always looking for the next best thing, you never make this what it should be. Say, where would you be tonight if you weren't pastoring? I would probably almost guarantee it. I'd still be in my home church, doing what I was doing, being involved like I was being involved. And what an honor. What an honor to belong to something bigger than you. What an honor to belong to something that's life-changing. What an honor to belong to something that others can be, their lives can be changed in. What an honor. I begin to think tonight as Brother Boggs was preaching about men, and I could name several of them that not only were there when I was there, but they're still there. Some of them now are in their late 80s, early 90s. In fact, Easter Sunday, just talked to my pastor who just turned 85, and the consistency, 41 and a half years pastoring the same church. I hope, if the Lord tarries, that I can have a track record. And I look at families here tonight and say, you know what? We got the start of a great thing. We really, really do. We're in this thing. We're building something. There are not many churches in Pentecost are building buildings somewhere. I know we're fighting some restrictions, but you know, perhaps God's just making sure that we're solid before he puts his stamp and puts his name on something. He's wanting to make sure that we're solid. I believe God wants to do it. I believe God can use everybody in this house tonight, every family represented in this house. In fact, how do I know that? If he couldn't and he didn't want to, the devil wouldn't be trying so hard to get you to go someplace else. If the Lord couldn't use you and didn't want to use you, the devil wouldn't be trying so hard to get your eye on something else. God brought you here. God planted you here. God wants to build a church with you. That scripture that he opened up with, he said, take me to the pillars that holdeth up the house. You know, it really wouldn't take very many families just to say, you know what? I'm not coming anymore for this thing to collapse. So, oh, no, God wouldn't let that happen. You get four or five families to say, I'm out. It's not God's will for any to perish, but there are cities, there are places that their doors have shut. I want to be a pillar. I want to keep this thing going. Amen. Right in the middle of all this Bible study that we're doing to establish people and to ground people, the Lord puts a word on a preacher's heart for this church. Take me to the pillars. If you don't think they're important, go home tonight and find those things that are holding up your house and take them out. You'll find out real quick the importance of pillars. That's right. Thank God for strength. Thank God for structure. Structure matters. Structure matters. Praise God. Can we lift our hands one more time? Thank the Lord for the word of God tonight. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We glorify you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, today. We thank you, Lord, today. Praise God. Find somebody in the church to hook up with. Find somebody in the church to fellowship with. In fact, the other day I drove by our property. There was a man, little truck out in the driveway of our property, working on his car. And I thought, well, you know, I gotta stop and say something. He goes, oh, I'm just here. The apartment manager said this wasn't our property, so they can go over and work on it. If you know the story behind that, you know the story behind that. But drove by again the other day, and he was doing it again. I pulled up. I said, man, you're going to make this your own personal mechanic yard? Oh, no. I'm just. And he goes, well, you're the construction manager? What's the deal? What, you own the property? I said, I'm the pastor of the church that's going here. Well, that changed everything. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. I'm a Christian. I read my Bible, and I go. And he made the comment. He said, you know, I used to go to one of those churches that would preach it, and then the pastor would, you know, this is what you're doing. This is what you need to be doing. He said, I like the churches now where you can just do what you want. I thought, well, that's the problem with the church today. In the book of Judges, everybody just does what was right in their own eyes. I thank God for pillars that will hold things up. I thank God for structure that will hold things up. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. Praise God. Take some time in fellowship. Greet one another. Shake somebody's hand. Get somebody's, if you don't have their phone number, get their phone number. Call them. Text them. Reach out to them. Tell them you love them. Praying for them. That's how you grow and get strength in the house of God. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody tonight before you leave. Make sure you pick up and straighten up around you. And you're dismissed in Jesus' name.